TalkZone.com.
Mike Northwebio Productions presents Barely Legal, featuring former Chicago Bear Robin Earl and Mike's guy, attorney David Spada, talking NFL football and legal issues in the NFL. Whoa.
Oh, hell yeah! Good morning, everybody. Not only is it TGIF, but it's one of the greatest weekends in sports, and that's March Madness time. NCAA basketball and all the bracket busters out there. We are the Barely Legal Show, and I'm Robin Earl, former fullback and tight end for your beloved Chicago Bears. And alongside me each week is my partner, attorney at law, David Spada. And we are so pleased to have a longtime radio veteran in the booth with us this morning, Mr. Fred Huebner. Thanks, Freddie, for coming in this morning.
Oh, my pleasure, as always.
And, of course, each week we are brought to you by Mike Northwebio Productions, Next Step Medical Group, the great-tasting coffee from Stewart's, and the Liberty Chicago WiMAX team, where you can have both your home and mobile phone service for only $24.95 a month. And that is, of course, without tax or contracts to sign. And when you refer three customers, your phone service is absolutely free. Once again, a big salute goes out to Dave, our guy behind the glass, that brings it to us every week. Thank you, Dave. Guys, we're going to have a fantastic show today, man. We got Bobby Hall, the Golden Jet, on board today, along with former Green Bay Packer Derek Mays. We've got the Bears mini camp just finished up. NC2A basketball. Hey, man, can't get any better than this.
Can you play offensive line? Because they're looking for a tackle. They have none right now. Is that correct? They have no starting tackles?
Yeah.
They're carrying Metcalf up earlier this week.
Yeah. Yeah, so a tackle would be nice if they could find one. They're talking quarterbacks, but they, you know, when John St. Clair, I remember John St. Clair when he played for the Rams, and I said, listen, just attack the side that John St. Clair's on. But he played better here with the Bears.
Yes, he did.
And now you never thought you'd say, we're going to miss John St. Clair.
But Fred,
but they're going to miss John St. Clair.
Fred, would you have given him $9 million for the Bears?
No. No.
So we get John Tate retired.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, we got that rookie Williams, Chris Williams. It's kind of unproven yet,
mm-hmm.
but he is slotted in the left side, right?
Hopefully, he's got a very comfortable bed, and he's fine, and his back won't act up anymore because you don't need any more back problems from a big guy like that.
Chris Williams and Bennett should go to Hallis Hall and tell management, bring in Jay Cutler, give him whatever they want. We need this guy. The guy's 25 years old, franchise quarterback.
You know,
the Vanderbilt connection.
You know, I brought in, I think it was earlier the week, what was it, Tuesdays, Wednesday, Sun Times, and, of course, it was Kyle Orton's pitcher on front. I mean, if everything serves me right, what's the most important position on the field?
Tight end.
The what?
When you were there, it was tight end and fullback, but usually quarterback.
Okay, you know what? Yeah, I think so, Freddie.
Usually.
It's the most important position on the field, and the Bears just don't keep addressing it. And now you have a guy out there, this kid from Denver, that's sitting there ready to be traded. Why don't we at least take a shot at him?
Why not? I mean, you've got to at least inquire. You have to say, hey, do we have anything that would pique your interest? He doesn't want to play for you. We need him. Is there anything we have that would pique your interest?
Here's the thing. We had Hub about a month ago in studio before Castle got traded. I said, get Matt Castle. Hub's going to have to give up too much, a couple first-rounders, this, and this.
And they didn't.
No, he went for a second-rounder,
and
I think they got Vrabel back with him.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a favor, though. They did the Kansas City guy a favor.
I think so, too. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? Cutler's a guy, he put up more than 4,500 yards last year. And the whole thing, he's a little too sensitive for a young guy. So you know what? You go, you get backup quarterbacks, you do whatever, you're looking at other quarterbacks. You always want your team to try to improve. You know, they weren't saying we don't like Jay Cutler. You know, you're making the big money. You just got to go out there and perform.
Now, memory serves me correct, Freddie. You're pretty up to this. So now, Jay Cutler is what, going into his fourth year?
I think that's right.
Is that what it is now?
I think so. Fourth year.
Now, he is pretty, pretty much of what I understand, a pretty arrogant individual.
Well,
he's not a real locker room guy.
Yeah.
Is that why the Bears are kind of like, well, we got Kyle
Orton? Robin, you had Jim McMahon as quarterback of the Bears. You played with him.
Well,
wasn't he arrogant?
He was never arrogant.
Yeah, well, he just couldn't stay healthy. That was his issue.
But didn't he have an attitude in the huddle?
Yeah, but you know what? It was a good attitude. And, I don't know if I ever tell this story. You know, the first time Jim McMahon, number 9, ever mm-hmm. stepped on the field. Okay, we were out in L.A. playing the Rams, and we're down 26-7. He comes in halfway through the third quarter. He kneels down. He's got his chin strap unbuckled, you know, and he's just looking at each one of us. And we're just, you know, it was hot out there. It was like a mid-November day, and it was like in the 80s. And, of course, coming from Chicago, you know, we were just all kind of like, you know, leaning over. And all of a sudden, he walks in the huddle. He kneels down. He looks at all of us. And I'm sitting next, and I'm standing next to Keith Van Horn there, right tackle. He says, "Guys, we got him right where we want him." And I looked at him, and Keith looked at me, and he goes, "What the hell is this rookie talking about? We got it right where we want him." Well, if you remember the end of that game, we ended up winning that one 35-26.
That's great.
And that was and Mac brought it back.
Yeah, between that one and the huge comeback in the middle of the week against Minnesota. Because that was a huge game. One of the reasons I remember that, my wife and I were looking for our very first house, and we went into the people's house to check it out, which turned out to be the house we bought, and they had the game on. I was recording it at home, and I said, "There's one touchdown pass." We went through the house. There's another touchdown pass.
Yeah,
I said, "This is great. I can't wait till I go home and watch the rest of it."
Yeah, that's a classic play when he hit Willie Gault on that left side seam pattern. And of course, what set it all up was Walter Payton's tremendous reaction blocking the blitzing linebacker that came in. That's what set the whole play up. But, yeah, guys, those days are over. Let's talk real time now.
Well, come on, Matt Forte can pick up a rushing linebacker every once in a while. That's the one thing I liked about him last year. He did everything for the Bears. I mean, he did everything they asked of him. A kid that they said is smart, knew the playbook right away, didn't have a question mark. Sometimes you get running backs who say, "We don't know the plays. We're going to the wrong holes." Matt Forte was such a breath of fresh air last year.
He sure was. And, just from his very first game that he played against the Colts, remember he busted off right tackle, went, I don't know, 50-some yards for a touchdown. I said, "This kid's for real."
Well,
this guy's, you know.
Remember, what do Bears fans always say? We don't have a guy that can break through the line and then keep running. They always get caught from behind. And it was so nice to see in the first game, no one was catching him.
He reminds me a lot of Neil Anderson, the way he could block and run, do it all. He's no Walter Payton, but similar to Neil Anderson.
Well, you know what? Two different styles. You know, no one's ever going to compare to Walter. And, you know, I was just—I don't know what brought this up, but I'm driving home last night, and I'm thinking, God, here it is. You know, 2009. You know, Walter, as of November 1st, will be gone 10 years.
Jeez,
it doesn't seem like that at all. Wow, it just November.
No.
I remember that day, November 1st. I got a call from a good friend of mine. He was an attorney, David. Okay, and he says, "Well, we lost one of the great ones today," and that was just so sad. And of course, I've told the story several times on the air here about the private funeral was the real, with all the who's who in America seemed to be there with Oprah and the governor and Mayor Daley. And, I mean, it was just awesome.
Well, we can only hope that 10 years after we pass, people are still talking about us. At least one person would be nice.
Exactly. So, Fred, big announcements in your life.
Yeah, all kinds of things are happening all of a sudden. I'm going to be hooking on with ChicagoSportsWebio.com and working with Matt Weber. It'll be the Webby and Freddie show, and that starts April 6th, and that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm actually busy this weekend because the Chicago Fire start their season, and I'm broadcasting their games on television. We have 13 games. First one's going to be on Fox 32 tomorrow night.
Sounds great. We got somebody on the phone, Rob.
You know what? Let's bring on this guy. He is one of my favorites. I've had an opportunity to meet him several times, particularly on the golf course. And Bobby Hall, the Golden Jet, considerably one of the greatest left wingers ever to play the game. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm great, guys. How are you all?
Man, we are doing great. Fantastic. Hey, let's talk a little hockey. All right.
We better talk hockey. Those Blackhawks are listening.
I hope so, Bobby. You know, we got a young team, of course. I think they've hit that proverbial kind of that wall a little bit, but I think they're going to come out of it. What do you think?
I would like to hope that they have found the reason that they're losing. A team can't play as well as they played during that stint in January and then play the way they've been playing in the last month or so. I just can't understand it. Either they aren't concentrating or they think that they've had their season by playing half of it, or they just haven't got the concentration that a young team might not have. I don't altogether believe in this youth deal because I can remember back a number of years, and you don't like living in the past, but we had young players that came on, and they didn't make any excuses about their age. They played with the pros, and they acted like a pro, and I think a lot of these guys had better take a look in the mirror just to see how poorly they've been playing the last little while, and realize that it's not only a black mark on they themselves, but their families and the fans and the entire Blackhawk organization. So, guys, if you're listening, let's get to it. Play as a team. And the Blackhawk organization have been so great to them. And sometimes the more you give, the more they want. And let's hope that Patrick Kane had a statement in the papers that they've turned the corner. I don't know what corner it is, but let's hope it's the corner to some wins in these last 15 games of the season.
Bobby, you're an ambassador for the Hawks. Why don't you just go in the locker room tonight and next game and give them a pep talk?
Do you want to know something? My wife, I get ranting and raving at home when I see the ways some of them are playing, and my wife says, Robert, why don't you just go in the locker room and show them and tell them how it's done? I said, Deborah, I have not been hired to do that. as much as I'd like to, I'm my hands are tied, and let's hope that Coach Quenneville has got it figured out and can lay the law down and get these guys playing like they played in January. They've got talent. Let's have it come out again.
Fantastic. Hey, Bobby, I gotta tell the one great story. In 1992, we were playing a golf outing. Okay, and of course, that's where I ran into you quite a bit. And
yes.
And we were up in the North Shore golf course there somewhere, and my father was visiting. And I said, hey, Dad, why don't you just come along, man? Let's just, it's close to the house. If we get too drunk, we can walk home. So I introduced him. You and your brother Dennis were standing at the bar, okay? And my dad just was like a kid in a candy store, man. He's just listening to you two guys. He says, those two guys together, Bobby Hall and Dennis Hall, man, those guys are like a couple of comedians for crying out loud.
Well, Dennis is the comedian. I'm just the straight man.
But boy, I tell you, we never laughed so hard, and I'll never forget after dinner we kind of conjured back to the same spot in the bar, and I think between you and my dad, you guys dusted off a couple bottles of Bailey.
I'm sure that I remember that day, and we had a wonderful time with your dad, and if you can't have fun, you only come this way one time.
That's right, and you better
enjoy what you're doing while you're here, because once they pat you in the face with a spade, you're all caught up.
he's going on 82 years old, and he still talks about that time.
My very best.
Wasn't Coach Ditt get that table too?
Yeah, he sure was.
Yes.
Yeah, he sure was. You know, you get some former athletes together and some alcohol, and boy, I tell you, you know, the stories sure fly, don't they?
One lies and the other swears.
That's right.
Well, you know, Bobby, after being away from the organization for so long, how much does this make you feel good that you're back with the organization, the team's having a good time? I mean, mental health-wise, this just has to be great for you to be back with this team.
I cannot tell you what a great feeling it is to be wanted by the Chicago Blackhawk organization. When John called me and I met with he and Rocky, it was just the greatest feeling in the world that after 35 years, the organization that I thought I'd always be with, the Chicago Blackhawks, wanted me back. And guys, I'm 70 years old, and I got the thrill of my life scoring goals, but this was a great thrill as well, being back in the fold with such a great organization and with such a great young team that has turned the corner and is going to get into the playoffs and go deep in the playoffs.
Bobby, well, David Spade here. Quick question. Did you have some issues with Bill Wirtz and Bob Pulfer?
Did I that question again?
Did you have some issues with the previous management?
Well, if I did have any issues, they all flew away that day that McDonough and Rocky Wirtz asked me to be a part of the Blackhawks again as an ambassador. We had our differences, and with what Rocky Wirtz has done, you know that it wasn't being done right the time before. So let's just go from here with these great with Rocky and his great organization. Let's go ahead and enjoy the rest of our lives watching a wonderful Blackhawk team.
And staying positive. I think bringing you back as the ambassador of the Blackhawks is the greatest thing that that organization could ever think of. Hey, Bobby, we've got a one heck of a Bobby Hall fan on the phone and would like to say hi to you. Hey, Daryl, how you doing out there?
Hey, Robin, how are you? David, what's going on? And Bobby?
Yes, David.
You're a legend, man. I remember, just a quick personal note, and then I want to ask you a couple things about the Hawks, but my parents lived behind the rink in Downers that Whitey used to own. So I remember going over there one night and meeting you and Tony and Keith Magnuson, and I just remember shaking your hand, and I was a little kid, I was probably 10 years old, and I just remember how big your hand was. And then when I met you later on in life, I was shaking your hand. I still remember how big you were. I'm like, God, this guy's a monster. And, you know, and he's not that tall. But I just remember you bringing the boys over, and they used to come over and play in my swing set when they were over at Whitey's rink. So.
Oh, my God. It's a wonder the swing set is still erect. After the white tornadoes got finished.
The white tornadoes.
When they'd come down in the dressing room, the trainers used to say, "Batten down the hatches, boys. Here come the white tornadoes." The powder stock was flying and the tape was flying, and you just had to be on them all the time. They were just a bad group of a trio, Bobby, Blake, and Brett. They were bad. They were badasses. And I just want to tell you one little story if you got a time.
Go ahead,
Bobby. Go ahead, man. The floor is yours.
One of the rink attendants came down after practice one day, and I had the three of them there, and said, "Mr. Hull, you better come up to the ice. It's about your kids." I said, "Oh, no, what happened? Did someone fall?" No, just you better come up. I went up there, and guys, the three of them were standing on the Indian head at center ice with their pee-pees out, and they were urinating on the...
is that when you're negotiating your contract with the Hawks?
That's when Billy and I were having our troubles. I guess maybe I'd said it so often, you know what, on Bill Wirtz, they thought they'd do that.
Well, it's all timing in life, you know what I mean? It's all timing.
They were Terrell Owens before Terrell Owens, dancing on the star.
Oh, that's great, man. I tell you what.
And you probably didn't discipline him for that either.
I could hardly be upset with him.
Hey, Daryl, you said you got a question for Bobby about the Blackhawks. What you got?
Yeah, Bobby, two concerns. I don't think we've got a guy that really scares anybody. And what do you think of our goalie? I mean, we got, what, 11 million tied up in two goalies that are, you know, do you think they can take us anywhere?
There's a lot of money tied up in two or three guys, and far be it from me to say that that someone has spent too much money, but I believe that if they could ever realize what a great situation they're in, playing for the Chicago Blackhawks, what a great organization it is, and for the most wonderful fans in all the world, the Chicago fans, that they could pull up their socks, and we wouldn't even worry about how much money some of these guys were making if they played up to their potential. And I really believe, and I want to believe Patrick Kane so much. He's a great young man, and I think the world of him. And I hope they're turning that corner. And let's see the goaltenders playing the way they're being paid to, and some of the defense and forwards playing the way they're being paid to do.
You think we need a tough guy still?
I'm sorry.
You think we need a tough guy still? I don't think anybody's scared of anybody on the Hawks right now.
I thought that before the trade date that maybe Dale would make some changes, but I guess he felt they had the team that he wanted to go the rest of the way with. I felt a couple of tough guys that could play hockey. I'm not talking about goofballs. I'm talking about guys with some size, and that would command some respect out there. Would have been a great addition to the Blackhawks.
Like a Keith Magnuson?
Are you talking about a goofball like Provy?
I don't want to categorize.
You know, it's almost like people forget, though, during this whole stretch, and he's been out for a long time, but Patrick Sharp's a key part of this offense, and he's been hurt and out of the lineup for a long time.
It seems like when Patrick went down, the team started to go in the
dumper.
Whatever you want to go.
Yeah, let's go there.
Crapper.
Hey, real quick, like Bobby, I had six sons. You had a few sons. I get to see Brett every once in a while. Comes out to some of the outings. But I also notice here that you also had a son, Bart, who played for Boise State University as a football player.
Absolutely, and he was the fastest white boy on the team, and he turned pro with the Ottawa Rough Riders in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether you people know it out there or not, but only in Canada. Canada in the CFL, the Canadian Football League, had two teams that were called Rough Riders.
Really?
Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Ottawa Rough Riders. Now, you tell me, how original can it get?
They ran out of names.
Yeah. Ran out of names. But my goodness.
Wait, you're forgetting Bobby's most important kid. He's got a daughter who's an attorney.
Yeah, well, I wish you would act more like a sensible young lady instead of a lawyer.
Oh, no, wait. I got a 3-year-old daughter at home, and she's 4 now. She says, I want to be like my daddy. I want to be a lawyer when I grow up.
Well, apparently she had to take after the old man. She was an accomplished figure skater, I'm reading here.
I don't know so much about that, but her mouth, she took after her mother with that.
Bobby, when you were negotiating that contract, when you got $1 million to play in the WHL, what was
WHA?
What was the Blackhawks' top offer to you back then?
They hadn't made me an offer. That's what I was so perturbed about. They were skirting around while Arthur and Billy Wirtz were floating around the Caribbean in their ship. They had some lawyer trying to sign me, and they never did offer me a contract. It was bantered about. I just told them I wanted to be the highest paid player in the NHL. Well, then would you take $1 more than Bobby Orr? I said, yes. Yeah, whatever Bobby Orr is making, I'll take the same amount of money, because he was the second best player in the league next to Brett Hull, you see. So, but they never really offered me a contract, and I set $1 million to the WHA just to get rid of them. Now, had I been a smart cowboy back in 1972, when there hadn't been a $1 million athlete of any kind, two-legged or four-legged, I would have said $20 million, and that was just to get rid of them. I had no idea that they were going to be able to raise or want to raise $1 million for me. But when I look back on it, there were 9 teams. 9 times 110,000 would get them the money, and I should have known that. But hindsight is 20/20, and guys, I paid for it.
Yeah, you know it. When you switch, it's kind of like in the football when they had the World Football League
mm-hmm.
going, and Zonka and Kick and those guys. Went over to those teams and so forth. But you know what? They were there for what, about a year or so. Then they're very unhappy.
Mm.
You know, they wanted to come back where the real show was, the National Football League.
And, well, it wasn't so bad, guys. It wasn't so bad. The caliber of play. We had some idiots that managed and coached, and of course they hired idiots to play, and we had to put up with them. But in the end, we had four teams that were pretty darn good. The Quebec Nordiques, the Hartford Whalers, the Edmonton Islanders, and the Winnipeg Jets. And those four teams, had they been left alone, could have gone into the NHL and been a great, great asset to the top end of the NHL.
Wasn't Wayne Gretzky starting his career in the
WHL? Gretzky started as a 17-year-old, I believe, and I can be corrected on this, with the Indianapolis Racers. Here's a little story. I was sitting with my teammates, Lars-Erik Kruberg and Anders Hedberg and Alfie Nilsson, waiting to go to play the Racers at the hotel and having a cup of tea. And a lady was sitting by herself some tables over. And all of a sudden, the young lady rose and headed straight for our table and came over and said, "Are you Bobby Hull?" And I stood up and I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She said, "My name is Phyllis Gretzky, and you're going to be playing against my son tonight, and I don't want you to hurt him." I said,
"Mom knows best.
You don't have to worry about us hurting anybody. We worry about getting hurt ourselves."
Well, at that point, it would have been tough, I think, maybe for you to catch him, wouldn't it have been?
Oh, my God, he was a great young player. Yeah. He hit the post two or three times that night and was rather disgusted with himself. But the old lad was the guy that scored the winning goal that night, and one of the last goals I scored in the WHA against Sutay Smith, and we beat them. I think it was either 2-1 or 3-2.
Wow. I tell you that's, you know what? We're getting through these stories without alcohol. This is great.
Exactly.
How do you know? I woke up this morning at 6 o'clock and had one in my.
Formosa.
Ricky Seafeld says, "Bobby, what are you doing drinking at 6 a.m? I said, "I slept in."
Hey, Bobby, you are in the area, right? You're living in the Chicago area right now?
I live in Sarasota.
Oh, Sarasota. I'm sorry.
I just see my private call come through on my cell from my wife, guys. And I better answer it.
I'll let you know. Okay. That's fair. You know what? Perfect timing.
Another divorce. Come on.
Perfect timing. We are so happy to have you come on board today, Bobby. And hey, good luck. And I want to see you up at the Blackhawks rink a bunch more times. Let's cheer them on. Hopefully they can do well in the playoffs.
Let's all 22,000 plus forget the past month or so and look ahead to those playoffs and cheer these guys on to a great finish and then going on deep into the playoffs.
Thank you, Ambassador Hall.
Thanks, Bobby. You're the best. Hey, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Attention employers of medical professionals and medical professionals looking for new employment opportunities. Do you ever think about how much time and money you spend searching for the perfect candidate to add to your medical team? Do you ever wonder what other career opportunities are out there for you, but you're too exhausted at the end of your day to look? Then you need to contact Next Step Medical Staffing. At Next Step, the medical professional can count on us to alleviate the stress of searching for a new job. And for all your employment managers, we ensure we provide you with the most qualified candidate to meet your medical staffing need. We assist our clients and medical professionals to fill staffing needs in the areas of nursing, allied health, physician, clinical research, psychiatric, and federal staffing services. Call 1-877-6-NEXT-STEP or find us on the web at nmsstaffing.com. Let our professional staff show you we are your next step in solving your medical staffing and career needs.
Need sound legal advice? If you've been injured at work, in a car accident, or on the job, or received a traffic ticket, then call me, Attorney David Spada. Don't get taken advantage of. Don't represent yourself. Ensure your rights are protected. Call me, David Spada, at 847-729-COMP. That's 847-729-2667. You can also download my sports and legal show, Barely Legal, with former pro football player Robin Earl on TalkZone.com.
alarm.
When you hear a police siren, what are the first words out of your mouth? Well, it should be to call an attorney you can trust. My guy! Attorney David Spada. Going to court without an experienced traffic attorney could result in a conviction, loss or suspension of your driver's license, traffic school, increased insurance rates, or even jail. I wouldn't want any of these, and you shouldn't either. Don't screw up by not calling David Spada. Call David now. 847-729-COMP. That's 847-729-2667. Or visit northtonorth.com to see the reduced rates David Spada is offering.